I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, the 24th day of August. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all you Duran Duran fans out in Tyrone.
Okay.
Tyrone, Georgia. Fans of Princess Diana's favorite band.
Do that.
Yeah, that's all I know. She didn't have a purse, though. Just a queen.
No.
I wonder if anybody else was allowed to carry a purse while the queen had the purse. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe. And they really needed to have the purse because they really had to spend some money to get in some places.
That's right. Yeah. Princess Anne, Queen's getting Margaret,
in.
All
Queen
of them.
Queen get in for free. You know.
I got it. He won't be mad if I say this.
Who?
You just reminded me of something.
What's wrong?
We had an event. You know, one of our events we do out at the Hawks.
Okay.
And we get up to the area at State Farm where we all meet before we all go down to the floor to do what it is we're doing. And I remember, it wasn't this year, but it was last year. And when I came up and I was with somebody else standing, and it works here, and the person who was checking our wristbands to make sure we were supposed to be there, and she says, you know, this is like our ID. And so she goes, all right, let me see your ID. And then something with her little gun or whatever that was she was taking stopped working, so there became a backup of people waiting to get in.
Okay.
And toward the back of the line was our own Carl Dukes.
Oh.
And so Carl's like, what's going on here? And I turned and was like, oh, well, she's checking IDs, right? And Carl went, did like a circle around his face. He went, that's my ID. I'll never forget that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll never forget. God love him. So I always think about that. It makes me laugh, Carl. But he was right, right? That's
right.
Carl Dukes.
Right.
It was, who was it that they were talking about? Stephen A. Smith was talking about being late for an interview because he was going through security. Who makes Stephen A. Smith go through security?
Oh, I don't know.
When you see him.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you make sure he's got no weapon on him, he's just going right through. Which, by the way, takes me to reminding our audience that they should check out what the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport is doing in preparation for next year's World Cup and the amount of people that will be coming here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the entities connected with the airport is partnering with Clear. And I have Clear.
Okay.
So you ain't got to take your shoes off and all that
right,
stuff.
Right,
anyway, right. They're partnering with them to make it even more convenient. So if you do a lot of traveling and you know, got folks coming here next year for the World Cup. Yeah. Listen, I told you about my neighbors from Nigeria, Samuel.
Right.
Who play, they can't wait for this thing. And they're talking about bringing folks from Nigeria in to stay at their house for the World Cup.
You know, there's something, certain entities that are going to really, you know, be popular because if they're connected at all to countries or nations who get seated to play a match here in Atlanta, that's mm-hmm. the thing. I mean, restaurants or anything that has to do with those restaurants that will have that culture. People will be coming, following their teams, and seeking that. So, yeah, that's going to be so big.
And along those lines, I never forget you talking about things that you saw during the Olympics that had Pepsi on it here in the home of Coca-Cola.
Oh, that was during Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl?
Last
okay.
Super Bowl. Because Pepsi is a soft drink for
right,
Super Bowl.
For the Super Bowl. And they Pepsi came halftime
to
show.
They came to town with a big old spray can, man, and just sprayed Pepsi all over every building. All over the buses, all over the bus.
What kind of beef is that going to be when the World Cup comes and all those other drinks from around the world? It's just going to be an interesting watch
from top to bottom. It will be, because you want people to come in and have a little, while they want to come here, we want them to enjoy our hospitality.
But also have a connection with their fan base.
Also have a connection with their culture, too.
Yeah.
And so there are people getting ready for that. That was in a room with some people who were talking about that a couple of weeks ago at one of your favorite spots. And we're talking about that over at Maggiano's. And a shout out to the people from PRSA, Public Relations Associates, representing entities around the metro Atlanta area. And how it's going to be a little different where with the Olympics, you know, a lot of the venues were out from town. You know, you had some things in town, but you had like the beach volleyball down on the south side. Tennis was out at Stone Mountain, horse and equestrian way out in Conyers. Yeah. You know, you had stuff all over the place. Whereas here, all your games are going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And you're going to have practice facilities in different places at the training grounds. Where the training grounds for Atlanta United will be used. The, of course, down on the south side, the new home USA Soccer will be that place. But they're going to have things around the metro area, how the different municipalities. What's going to be happening in Roswell? What's going to be happening in Douglasville? What's going to be happening in Jonesboro? What's going to be happening up in Gwinnett? Attached to the World Cup, that people can go and experience it in those places, because the tickets are going to be a little steep. You know what I mean? For this, I mean, you still want people to come and go and enjoy it, and then there'll be things they can do and see in the city too as well. So you don't want people to stay away from the city. I think during the Olympics, it would tell people, don't come downtown, don't come down, you know, unless you have
you know
to, right?
How many people are going to be up on Boulevard over there how come I can't think of Auburn Avenue, going over to the King Center?
Okay.
From around the world, Martin Luther King, and now they're here for this event, but yet got to go over there. And, you know, sometimes traffic is a little tight over there. Yeah. That's just for us.
That's true. That's true. Well, you think people who come in here don't know how to do it. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Are these things riding through the town with nobody driving them going to be
No. See, you got – they got to do something with them.
Noel?
I'm not getting in one of those nothing.
Man, that's why you think they're getting them going. Waymos are going to be rolling next year. It'll be bad enough because people don't know where they're going, but they're going to be in a car with nobody driving them.
I'm sorry.
But they will be.
I believe you. That's one of the big reasons.
That's why they're getting them all revved up and ready to go. They're going to be a big part of next summer. Vehicles with nobody driving them.
How you feel about that, Noel? See, because I'll put me and Sam in a certain category because we the old dudes, okay, we don't want it. But I'm curious about some young folks and how they feel about that. And are you cool with getting in a car and maneuvering through downtown? I tell you what.
As long as they don't get on the freeway.
Well, listen.
I don't think they're getting on the freeway. I think they're staying on the surface streets.
You think, but you're not sure.
I haven't seen one on the freeway. I don't want to see one on the freeway.
I'm asking, but would you get one at Mercedes-Benz or State Farm and take it to Atlantic Station?
I'm not trying to get any of that.
Okay. That's not far. Would you do it?
I'll walk.
There you go.
Go there.
You know. See, we talked over Noel coming to join us here. We got to stop doing that, man. We like them old dudes.
I was just going to say, apparently there's a study saying that in Atlanta, people are preferring to get in Waymo instead of cars with actual drivers.
Yeah.
I am not one of those people.
Yeah. So, I mean, those things are going to be full tilt next summer. Get ready.
Listen, I'm the first.
Get your mind right.
I'm the first person in line when it comes to technology and introducing things. That's what's next. I'm all about that. This one,
that's going to be part of showing off.
Yeah,
we want to show off. People are coming from around the world. We want to show off, and we're going to put you in one of these things with nobody.
You come over the world. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
All right.
Absolutely.
We were supposed to be talking about. You know what? Before we get to the Braves, and just it was nice seeing those guys back out there. East Lake
is going on, and of course. I just want to mention East Lake is going on. We got an interesting leaderboard out there. He's played for the final round of the two championship. You think so?
He only got him by four strokes. Nothing.
He's down by four. He's got him right where he wants him, right?
Yeah.
Scotty Scheffler got him right where he wants him. You know, but shout out to Russell Henley, also UGA product out of Macon, who's right there among the leaders. Let's see who gets the big money. But today, of course, instead of the near $82 million purse with $25 million going to the winner, the Tour Championship will offer a $40 million purse, $10 million going to the winner. The rest of the money has been doled out to various checkpoints through the last month of the season. But that's the money that's on the line today, the prize money that we paid out. The total purse, $40 million. That's huge, man. It's huge.
Yeah.
And they're going to get that done today. Always a big event. And also, you know, I'm sure they've been remembering and thoughts of Tom Cousins, who was a developer, passed away here a few weeks back. He was big involved with the redevelopment and the revitalization of the East Lake community, which, of course, is where the Tour Championship takes place. That surrounding community is
that area
remarkable.
What was that school that's out there by East Lake? We talked about that in the charter school.
Drew Charter School. Think of a high school or an elementary school with two golf courses right outside your gate. Two golf courses right outside your gate. And what happens, the young people who own the golf team there are your standard bearers for this event. So think, if you're on a high school golf team, you get to spend 4 days walking the course with somebody, you know, and you just watch, you just peeping over their shoulder, you just feeling some things. But I mean, think about getting a chance to do that at that age. Those are the young people who get a chance to be standard bearers for this event. Tremendous impact this event has.
And you're not far from Pullman Yard either.
There you go. That's not far.
Right around the corner. Right around the corner. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Did you get a chance to see any of the ceremonies at the Braves game where they were honoring the 95 team?
I didn't get to, and there's some fans with an axe to grind about that.
Uh-oh.
Because of all nights for it, not to be on FanDuel and not to be on NFL. Mm. It was on Apple.
Yeah.
And you hear the people like, can you put us, we going to bring all these guys back?
Really?
You know, at a time when the most people can see it. But, you know, that was the plan, and that's what they did Friday night. And it was great to see so many of the players back. Saw the three-headed monster throw out the first pitch. Those guys do that. Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox. Great to see them back.
How must Steve Avery feel?
Yeah.
Because he's always kind of left. Now, right. He knows he didn't have the career them three had.
Right, right.
But he was that fourth starter.
He was there now.
Yeah, he was. Mark Wallers.
But that was a neat thing. He's riding by, you know, in the vehicle parade out there, and the people who follow the Braves from that
they know
the story of the guys, you know, so that's very cool.
And seeing the crime dog again.
Yeah.
Every time I see Fred McGriff, I think of Marquise Grissom talking about Fred McGriff at his Hall of Fame induction. But –
And then, of course, David Justice was back.
He made news for another reason.
Well, but he's been in town a couple of times here recently.
Yeah, so but he started talking about his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And that brought him full right to the forefront. What? Halle Berry.
You want to get on a podcast quickly. You know, that happened quickly for him.
But, yeah, it was really nice to see Bobby Cox, because we haven't seen him that much.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the booth. But the stories, it was like Marcel Probst again in the mandolins when you see those guys. They just brought back a flood of memories. And I just think about the story of Javi Lopez talking about there was a pickoff play at first base.
Right.
And Javi picked them off.
Mm-hmm.
And when the guy was talking to Javi, he said, well, we had this worked out, and Fred gave me a look and a thing, and I knew that was when I was going to throw it down there. And he gave me the look, and I threw it down there, and we picked the guy off. And they went to Fred, and he goes, I don't know what he's talking about with no look.
Wow.
He didn't know what Javi was talking about, but I tagged him out, right? But he said, we didn't have no look. So that's one that always stays with me. You think about the what ifs and the sort, you know, what could have happened or what it would have been if Smoltz doesn't leave, you know, Detroit for Doyle Alexander and come here.
Yeah.
If you know, just like I said, there was just a lot of moving parts that fell into place perfectly.
And not just that, this team had been knocking on the door for several years.
That was
right?
The other thing too.
Finally getting over the top. That was the thing with this team. You got to a certain point, you said, man, don't let this group of guys get together here and we don't get it done. And that was something I think the national media was really going on. You know, will Atlanta finally get it over the point? Because people regarded the Braves as being the best team in baseball throughout the regular season, but for whatever reason, they couldn't get over the top.
And that was it.
And, well, not only could they not get over the top, any team from here couldn't get over the top, right?
No.
And so
yeah,
that's,
right.
So that's what made that so big.
You know, if you look at that Minnesota team and – jeez, we go back to Chuck Knobloch, Deacon, Lonnie Smith, and what could have been had he made that play. And you think about those guys running in the
You also think about Herbig.
Well, pulled Ron Gant off the base. Pulled him off the bag. But then Toronto and Jack Morris and Joe Carter and them boys. And it was a different team, won it.
Kirby Puckland went off the plexiglass, off the pleather.
Yeah.
Yep, he went up and got
and
one.
And was it Jack Buck.
Okay.
Jack Buck. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
But.
And Jack Morris, man, he would have pitched all night if he had to. If he had to pitch 30 innings, that dude was not.
Him and Smoltz.
Was not coming off the mound. Just unbelievable performances in that World Series.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. It was great seeing those guys. Check out the website again for all the interviews that we have had this past week. All right. Now, as we get ready for I have to start. We'll do it the next segment.
Okay.
But Sam and I communicate throughout the course of the week about who we want to have on the show, and we make suggestions. And he was taking care of something this past week. So I said, I got your back. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get this covered. We'll talk some college football. I got the guy to call. And we'll talk about how that played out as we welcome Chad Bishop on, who's not the person I was talking about. Up next, it is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there a Stevie Wonder song you think you could sing all the way through? Confidently?
Oh, probably, yeah.
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 It's probably one of them.
Probably several.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a Sunday morning. It's the 24th day of August, and we are back on Sundays. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. This hour is dedicated to folks in Tyrone, Georgia.
All right.
Little shout out to them. Speaking of songs, have this wrap around in your mind for a second before we bring on Chad Bishop. We want to thank Chad for joining us. Speaking of music, did you know that Bono, you too?
Okay.
Bono wrote a song that was never recorded for Frank Sinatra.
Whoa.
Bono and Edge wrote a song for Frank Sinatra, told him about it, and he passed shortly thereafter. But just the title in and of itself is enough that you say, oh, that's a Frank Sinatra song. It was called Two Shots of Happy, One Shot of Sad. Ain't that a Frank Sinatra song?
All right.
Two shots of happy. He's like, you know, torch singer the way he is.
Yeah, right.
Two shots of happy, one shot of sad. And Sinatra never recorded it because he passed away. But let's bring on Chad Bishop now.
Yep.
Listen, the anticipation of this season, the conversation surrounding this team has been at a level that I've not heard, mainly because, you know, in the city it's all about them boys over in Athens. But I'm enjoying what I'm hearing about Georgia Tech, Chad, and Sam has been educating me on what's going on. And then we look at this schedule coming up in front of them. Things are, you know, feel like they got a chance for some significant wins going on this season. Tell us what we should know about this team heading into this 2025 season.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thanks for having me. And no shots of sad on my end on this Sunday morning. So I appreciate it, fellas. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? It's year three for Brent Key, 2-7-6 season. So it's not like they've exactly set the world on fire the last couple of years. But I think where some of the hype is coming from is that Haynes King is coming back at quarterback. Jamal Haynes is coming back at running back. Buster Faulkner and Chris Winkie are still there on the offensive staff. Of course, the continuity from Brent Key, a new defensive coordinator with a lot of defensive talent on that side of the ball. And to your point, you know, the schedule is not nearly as daunting as it has been in years past. There's Clemson on there and there's Georgia on there, but you could make a case the other 10 games are very winnable, if not toss-up games for the Yellow Jackets. So if they stay healthy, there's a really good chance this Tech team could make some big-time noise. You know, dare I say, you know, be in that conversation in November to get to an ACC title game. And I mean, shoot, if a dream scenario, right, is they're sort of in that college football playoff picture come the end of November.
Yeah, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline on this Sunday morning with Chad Bishop. Great to talk with him. All things Georgia Tech athletics. And he is social. You can find him at Mr. Chad Bishop, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Talk about this Tech team, and we remember how the last game went, the very last game of the season, the debacle in Birmingham with the bad officiating and the storm and everything. I'd rather focus us on the last regular season game and how much of that can this team recapture, being that close and taking Georgia to the very finish line, taking them to the wall last year. That's what this team has to build on and a nucleus that has that experience, right?
Yeah, I think it's sort of the bridge from last season to this season because a lot of those guys who suffered that excruciating defeat in Athens, we mentioned Haynes King, Jamal Haynes, Malik Rutherford at wide receiver, Kyle Eifert at linebacker, Clayton Powell Lee at safety, Jordan Vanderberg at defensive tackle. Like a lot of the main core pieces, you know, walked off that field after those eight overtimes, and a lot of those guys were driven by that score and by that result. And so you come into spring practice, summer training, and I think a lot of those senior leaders told some of the newcomers, told some of the freshmen, like, this is what drives us. This is how close we were. We know we're a good team. We need your help to get us over that hump. So I think that's definitely a backdrop. That's definitely part of this narrative. We all know how much Brent Key wants to beat Georgia. I mean, we all know he lies in bed at night awake thinking of that game and thinking of ways to improve his program to get over that hump. So it's certainly a driving force. Of course, you know, a lot of the freshmen, a lot of the transfers and newcomers probably aren't driven by that as much. But again, it's some of those older guys in that locker room that take those guys by the collar and say, listen, this is the direction we're going. This is the standard. This is how things are done to get us over that hump to beat Georgia at the end of the year.
This is Chad Bishop, who I'm kind of mad at right now because I can't get that vision out of my head. run key laying in bed thinking of Kirby Smart. But anyway, join the Sam and Greg Sports Radio 92.9 game. I want to go back to a name you mentioned earlier, because unless you follow the sport and this particular team, when I heard the name Chris Winkie, I had other things that ran through my mind other than him being a force as far as coaching, and especially at Georgia Tech here. What has he meant to this program? And is he the kind of guy where, at least at this level, he's been there a few years, you think somebody might come and snatch him up?
Yeah, well, I think the conversation for me starts with Haynes King, because Chris Winkie was an assistant coach at Tennessee when Haynes King was in high school, and Haynes King chose Texas A&M over Tennessee. Well, flash forward 3 years after that, Haynes King decides to get in the transfer portal, and he's looking around, and lo and behold, Chris Winkie is the quarterback's coach at Georgia Tech. So there's a connection there, and I think that speaks volumes to the type of coach that Chris Winkie is, to have that relationship with a superstar quarterback like Haynes King. And then the fact that he's stayed along Brent Key's side this past 3.5, almost 4 years now, to create this culture of quarterback play. We talked about Haynes King, but Aaron Filo, the backup, I mean, that's a huge get for Georgia Tech, and Chris Winkie's a big part of bringing him in and develop him as well. And we talked about, you know, the seniors on this team and the players, but I think the coaching staff is just important this day and age to have that continuity, whether it be Buster Faulkner at offensive coordinator, Jeep Waite on the offensive line, or Chris Winkie in the quarterback room. Haynes King joked last year, like, his internship was learning how to play quarterback under Chris Winkie. Like, the guys love him. He's been instrumental in teaching the guys how to play at a high, not only collegiate level, but put themselves in position to possibly play at the professional level. So, yeah, he's an integral part of this Georgia Tech football team and the Georgia Tech offense.
Spending time talking with Chad Bishop from the AJC keeps things all together about Georgia Tech as they get set to open their season later this week. On the road at Colorado, talk about the fact that this Tech team is going to play one of the games this weekend that will get big-time eyeballs from the country. The nation is going to get a good dose of this Georgia Tech team, and they have a chance to make a really solid impression out of Colorado.
Well, it's kind of what this Tech team has done, right, the past couple of years. You go back to 23 and playing Louisville, Mercedes-Benz Stadium to open the year. Of course, last year in Dublin, and I'm sure a lot of us were watching the game yesterday in Dublin between Kansas State and Iowa State, brought back a lot of memories for me, you know, Georgia Tech being over there last season. And now they have another opportunity again, ESPN Friday night. I think that game is up against Auburn Baylor. So a lot of folks will have that dual screen. They'll be flipping back and forth watching those two. We all know Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, is a huge draw in and of itself. And this is sort of what Georgia Tech likes, right? Like going on the road, sort of being an underdog, even though they're the favorite on paper, they're still going into a sold-out, hostile environment against a team with a lot of hype. And they're going in there and be like, don't forget about us, right? We're Georgia Tech. We know who we are. We know what our identity is. And we have a pretty good football team. So it's all part of sort of their recent mantra for this program to go play some big-time opponents. They got Tennessee coming up in a couple years as part of their non-conference schedule. And then you throw in the wild card of the ACC's new revenue system, where if you get higher ratings when you play on TV, you're going to get a little bit more of that revenue pie at the end of the season. So that's big for Georgia Tech as well, because they know a lot of eyeballs will be watching them on Friday night.
Chad, you mentioned a word, identity, and I think this team has it. I don't know that the Colorado team that's put together now with the departure of Shadur and his brother and Travis Hunter, I don't think that team has an identity right now. They're reestablishing that at a time when Tech really does. They know who they are.
That's why I give Tech an advantage, not only in this game, but probably in a lot of games on their schedule. And we go back to the original part of our conversation about sort of the hype and expectations for Tech. Continuity is huge, and maybe even more so in 2025, right, when guys are transferring to 3-4 different schools. I mean, Haynes King, third year as a starter. Jamal Haynes, been at Tech his whole career. Same thing with Kyle Eifert at linebacker. And under Brent Key, it's this identity of, you know, run the football first, right? Not 3 yards in a cloud of dust necessarily, but they're a run-first team. They're very, very tough. They're very, very physical. I think the discipline gets overlooked a lot, right? Like, not a lot of turnovers, not a lot of penalties. It's not maybe, you know, 50 points a game and chuck the ball over the field and dance in the end zone sort of an identity, right? But it's kind of a blue-collar, we're going to go out and pound the rock and then hit some explosive plays, and it's going to be fun to watch. And that's the identity they've created. And to your point, I mean, Colorado, for all we know, could be a great team, but we just don't know that right now. And we do know what Georgia Tech is going into week one.
Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg. All right, listen, if you believe, like most, that this is Clemson's conference to lose, and they're going to be, you know, top of the food chain. How many other teams in your mind is Georgia Tech looking up at beside them?
Yeah, great question. Probably two or three. I mean, you got to put Miami in that category with the talent they have and what Mario Cristobal has done in the past couple of years. Of course, as you guys know, the problem with Miami, right, is like, can we trust them, right? They lose to Georgia Tech last year. They lose to Syracuse. They play their way out of the ACC title game. So you don't ever question Miami's talent. You just, you know, question whether they can get it done week in and week out and not slip up by season's end. I think Louisville is a team to watch, mainly because they have 8 home games. Like, that's crazy to me that they get to play 8 times at home. So you'd have to assume that those will probably be winnable games for Louisville, right? And then I kind of throw like an NC State in there, a Duke, some teams, maybe teams aren't really, people aren't really talking about. I mean, they're going to have some good talent. And, you know, Duke won 9 games last year. Georgia Tech has to go on the road to play them. So, yeah, I think there's a couple. You know, I think there's a reason Georgia Tech was picked to finish 4th in the ACC preseason poll, because that's sort of where they lie right now going into this thing. Clemson, by far and away, is definitely the team to beat. Some people think they're going to win the national championship, but I think that's good news for Georgia Tech, because all you really have to do at this point is just try to fight for second and get into that ACC title game, if that's the case on paper.
You know, this is crazy, Sam, and I want you to stay with me here, Chad. He went through a breakdown and he named a handful of teams. You and I know who's sitting out there. As we sit here on August 24th in 2025, he broke down these teams and did not mention the team being coached by what a lot of people feel is the greatest football coach of all time. Now, mind you, we all understand that North Carolina wasn't going to turn a corner and be significant this season. But, you didn't even, mention him. you didn't even bring Bill Belichick up at all. And I'm just curious of your thoughts on where you see this program, how long it's going to take. Do you think he's going to be there next year or two? What's your thoughts on North Carolina right now?
I didn't mention North Carolina. I didn't mention Florida State either, right? Like, you know, they were undefeated a couple years ago and then went 2-10. What if they go back to being 12-0 again? But, yeah, talking to a lot of people, whether it's media, whether it's people who work at North Carolina, you know, sports information folks, there seems to be a consensus that this North Carolina thing is going to go one or two ways, right? Like, Bill Belichick is going to be a godsend. They're going to be a very, very good football team and very competitive. Maybe starting year one where they win 7, 8, 9 games. I don't think their schedule is terribly hard. And then I think the other prevailing thought is, like, this is going to be a disaster. Like, these kids are not going to buy into him. He's maybe a little bit too old to be in this college game. And maybe halfway through the season or a third way through the season, folks just throw in the towel and this team ends up like 4-8 or 3-9. So I have no idea. I wish Georgia Tech was playing them this year so we could see it up close and personal. But I think it's one of these things that's just complete roll of the dice when it comes to this UNC football program. I don't think anybody would be shocked, right, if they won 9 games. And I don't think anybody would be shocked if they went 2-10.
Wow. Watch and see what happens.
I ain't gonna say nothing about it.
You're not gonna say nothing about it. No,
we're not gonna
do anything about that.
Go ahead, Sam.
Well, we've thought about that, but that's the thing you wonder about this whole conference and what we're gonna see this season. But the thing we're hoping to see is great things from Georgia Tech starting this Friday night. Wheels up. You going out to Colorado? You headed out there?
Oh yeah, yes sir. I'll fly out Thursday and get there about noon Mountain Time and have a little day and a half to check out the sites and see if I can go have dinner at Coach Prime's house, you know. And I'm just going to be hanging out and seeing the Flatirons and seeing Folsom Field, man. It's going to be awesome.
I'd imagine getting to Deion's place is like getting into the Bat Cave. I mean, the old TV show, there's like, you got to know where the bush is and it will go down. And you can
right
drive through that. Hey, listen, as always, Chad, we want to thank you, and we will be talking to you throughout this upcoming season.
Thanks a lot and safe travels.
All right, guys. See you.
Chad Bishop joining us here. Yeah, man, it's just – and again, what he said about Belichick is kind of what we all feel.
Yeah. You know, either that's going to do something or it's going to, like, by midseason, we'll see.
All right, we are going to wrap things up here in a little bit. So nice being back on Sunday mornings. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From 2 U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Radio 92.9 Game. It is Sam and Greg. It's a Sunday morning. Yep, it's Sunday. That's ain't Saturdays no more. It is Sunday when you hear Sam and Greg. 24th day of August. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Got John Fricke coming up top of the hour. I got a full day of sports action going on, everything from, well, when's the Little League Championship? I got to look that up. That's because it's going to be Chinese Taipei against Vegas.
Okay.
I'm torn, man. I really am, because I would like to have seen Aruba make it.
Make it.
That would have been beautiful if Aruba made it, to me at least. But, Vegas. I'd like to be in Vegas today when the Little League World Series is going on. They're playing Little League for the World
If they win it now, what kind of parade are they?
That was my
have?
Next thing.
You can't have a
– Well, you can.
They're kids.
They ain't drinking.
You can't have a Vegas kind of parade.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'll tell you how you do it. They weren't drinking when the Braves came through the battery. They were in the back of the cars there. They just sitting there and they're waving at everybody. So it's the same thing. They just not having, margaritas handed to them. Or Shirley Temples or whatever.
No showgirls, nobody.
No, none of that.
No fan dancers.
That's not as much.
No fan
dancers. No, none of that. No, maybe an Elvis impersonator. But that's it. Yeah, they deserve a parade right down Las Vegas Boulevard, next to the Paris and all the other
Caesar's
hotels.
Caesar's Palace and Circus and all that kind of
thing. What's the one across the street with the fountains? Bellagio, all of that.
Right? Okay.
They deserve it all if they win it.
They do. We'll see if we can get that.
I saw something the other day, and in other words, I had one of those Clarkson thoughts that, I always try to find an analogy or correlation to. So they were replaying Nolan Ryan's career. They were highlighting it. And then, of course, it culminated with him getting his 5,000th strikeout.
5,000 strikeouts.
Right? First guy to get 5,000 strikeouts. And when he got that, his reaction to getting it, and again, picture Nolan Ryan then. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? If they would have made a movie about this dude, you know who could have played him? And they were perfect personalities, I believe. Were he still with us? Sean Connery. Sean Connery is to movies what Nolan Ryan was to baseball. They to me at least, they just kind of strike each other as somewhat similar. But here's the question. And it's a famous player. Who did Nolan Ryan get his 5,000th strikeout against?
I should know this.
And it's a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was somebody of note.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but I know it wasn't just any old body.
No. And I call him the greatest leadoff hitter of all time.
Okay. Henderson.
There you go.
Wow.
He struck out Ricky Henderson for his 5,000th.
5,000th strikeout.
So that was kind of cool. But the way his reaction to it. Like, he just looked like somebody who just got off a horse.
Yeah.
He threw the pitch, Ricky Strug, and he just kind of turned and, sauntered the way he did.
Yeah,
like,
that's him.
Man, that's just country cool.
That's him.
And that's what I thought of Sean Connery, man.
I had a chance to encounter him once. Wrangler had a big headquarters up in Greensboro once he was in town and came by our station up there. So
I liked the commercial he did afterwards, and I think it was for some gold mine or something like that, and they just showed him pitching, and the last pitch, the pitch was like, bam, right into the mitt, and you hear that sound that when a ball hits a catcher's mitt, and they really accentuated it in the commercial, and he just turned the camera and went, I love that sound. Love that, man. Anyway, what we got, as we get on out of here, we haven't talked much NASCAR today.
And NASCAR was last night. The big race was last night, and the curtain comes down on the regular season last night in dramatic fashion. At Daytona, as always, dramatics. Ryan Blaney is your winner, but because he is already a previous winner, he makes it in, and that was good news for a certain driver who was holding his breath to see if he's going to make it into the postseason at all, and he does make it in. So the postseason goes in, and the guy who makes it in is Alex Bowman. He gets the 16th and final spot, and he was in a crash early in the race, so he's sitting back in his hauler or back in his truck and just watching the race and hoping that somebody who already won would win, because if it was somebody that hadn't won, he was going to be bumped out. So he stays in. He is the 16th spot as they get start for the playoff. Of course, Kyle Larson's up at the top, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Christopher Bell, your top five in the playoffs as they head for the playoffs that will start. And at Darlington, that was where the playoffs will get started, and talk about the different type of race courses, the challenges that they will face facing Darlington. Then they go from there, the one up in Madison, Illinois, the Worldwide Technology, really St. Louis. They go back to Bristol, which they've gotten all the grass out of Bristol. And it's going to be a race day. They said they got it all out September 13th, right? So those are your first three rounds of the playoffs. Also this week, Greg, next week's schedule was released. Next season's schedule was released. And so many different things. They're still going to do the clash at Bowman Gray Stadium, in Winston-Salem again on February 1st. It's going to be a little chilly up there, a little small, tight stadium, but they're going to have it up there again. But they brought in some places, some new stops along the way. The street race from Chicago will be in San Diego. Chicago will race back again at Chicagoland.
They're going down to Joliet.
Going to Joliet.
Down there by the jail.
They're going to do that. That's going to be
where it is.
The July 4th weekend. It'll be the Sunday, July 5th. The next week, they will be here at Echo Park Speedway, and that's going to be part of that in-season tournament, those races that will be on TNT. Once again, the races will be on Fox Sports, Prime Video, TNT. Once again, you know, our friend Adam Alexander will be just hustling all over the place, keeping up with all the different series and racing. But that's what has come up. Some people wonder about the All-Star Race. All-Star Race is going to be at Dover Motor Speedway on a different surface on a Sunday. They've been usually doing that at night, but they're going to run at daytime, which is probably going to be pretty hot on that surface up at Dover, that one-mile layout there. So going to some different places for some different things. As far as the schedule goes, maybe one fewer road race, I think. But that's what they were, some of the highlights of the schedule for next year. And things will end at Homestead, Miami, down in Florida for the final race on November 8th next year. So the schedule for next season is already out.
In case you can't get in front of a TV, we have got Atlanta United and Toronto pre-kick at 3 o'clock, kick at 4 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke again coming up top of the hour. Hey, Sam, a signed sports collectible card featuring Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, sold for $12.9 and some change, million dollars.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was supposed to be in Noel's world today.
No. Oh.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. You want to finish that up? I stepped on you. See, me and Sam, we rambled on like the two old dudes in the balcony on the Muppets and cut into Noel's segment. So we're going to give you a little airtime right now. You want to get that out. That card and whatever else.
Oh, no, I was just glad that we both had it on the bingo card. Yeah, that was a crazy sale.
It topped Mickey Mantle's 52 card. I just can't fathom. How do you trip and fall into something like that and know that you got it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I used to have cars, too. You and I talk about the cars that sat down in our mother's basement forever, and we go back here and we want to walk into traffic thinking about the cars we had that we threw out.
Right.
That
right.
would make so much money.
Oh,
please. what else? There was something else I was going to mention here, but while I'm thinking about it, let me remind you guys, if you want to see the list of job opportunities from Casting Call, you go to 929thegame.com/castingcall. You'll see the list there. You can also see it right now and get cast with Greg on X. Greg.Clarkson, Odyssey.com is the number if you got any questions about any of this stuff. And Reese, we've been listening to y'all's show.
Yeah, Reese.
Yeah.
Thanks,
you think
man.
You slick.
Right? Uh-huh. Reese has been on it today.
He's been on it all show long. Shout out to Chief Brandon, too. People are realizing that we're back on. Jimmy Geislick,
yep.
He was listening earlier. Him and Steve Graham and them boys. So the barbershop, too. By the way, is KB back?
He was, and then he's going back. But I reached out to him. He was around.
Yeah,
you go back. He's got stuff happening.
Yeah, he got stuff. He's trying to be. You know,
he got stuff happening.
Mover
back.
And shaker and all that.
That's
stuff.
All right.
Well, listen. I don't know about you, but I've exhausted the tank.
Have you?
Yeah, I really
no
have.
Way. No way. No way.
This is when I usually get in trouble. When I try to fill up with time and I say something stupid or do something I
We'll
I
go back to
do.
Talking about Tour Championship and people that happen over these. Like the final round is today.
Thank
of
you.
Course, that $40 million purse. Tommy Fleetwood, the name at the top, along with Patrick Cantlay, both at 16 under par. Fleetwood a 3-under yesterday. Cantlay a 6-under. But the guy with the 7-under also was Keegan Bradley. He is at 13-under. Russell Henley mentioned earlier. He's in third. He's at 14 under par. Had a 1-under yesterday. Russell Henley out of Macon and out of the University of Georgia. But the guy right below them, who's fifth right now, is Scottie Scheffler. And we watch for him. He's got 4-under par yesterday. He is at 12-under to start this final round at East Lake. Like you said earlier, he's got him right where he wants him. Yeah, he just lined up. This is lined up perfectly for him. The thing of it is, you know, just see how he plays. And you know, you shout out to the fact that the PGA landed this particular event and tried to move it so it wasn't conflicting or going head-to-head with the NFL. And because in years past, this event was a fall event.
Right.
So it was going at the same time as college football and the National Football League. To me, this year it lands at just the right time, the perfect time for people really to focus on it and go out, you know, and enjoy it. The weather's going to be good. It won't be baking hot out there today. You should be able to go out and have a good time and enjoy the golfers. And, you know, it's a tremendous event. Very well done out at East Lake. And also a chance to see the East Lake community and all the things that are going on over there.
Okay, so I'm going to tell this to Noel and the rest of the audience. You guys can listen if you want to. This past week, while Mr. Crenshaw was doing all manner of things, and it was busier than he normally is, we're putting together the show, and I said, all right, I got this for you. And I'll arrange our guest and make sure everything's cool. And so I did that, and when I talked to him, I think it was Friday, and told him, all right, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You go enjoy your time up in North Carolina and drive around, and we'll be cool. And this is who we got, blah, blah, blah. This is who we got. And I ran down each hour, and I said, and we're going to talk college football. And I mentioned who I got, and I knew it was college, and we haven't talked to him in a minute, but I called Tim Scarborough. And Tim, by the way, shout out to you. He's listening right now.
What's up, Tim?
But Tim is our college basketball.
Yeah, man.
And Sam went, man, that's basketball. He fussed at me like out loud, and I just felt like a sixth grader.
No, I mean, man,
I did, that. But it was funny though because I.
Because you were talking thing. College football to Tim. I said, Tim?
And then he didn't say nothing on the phone. I was like, Tim, you ready to come on and talk some college? And I said, talk to us on Sunday morning. I didn't say the sport. I just figured he knew what we're going to talk about. He goes, oh, I can't wait. Right? Oh, I'm looking forward to it. And now, how could he not say, y'all talking basketball already? You know, he didn't say that. He just like was ready to come on and just start talking to us.
I mean, he's a fan, but he didn't like work around it much. But you know, if he wants to come on, when we finally get him on to start college football basketball season, we'll ask him a little.
Well,
football.
He's ready to come at me.
We'll let him talk.
Ready to come at me. So that's that. So that's what happened this past week. I called the wrong analyst for our show. When we reconvene, we will be getting ready for the NFL season. Still won't have happened yet.
Right.
We'll be talking about week one of college football. And my question is this. You can make somebody very happy in my house by saying that this is going to happen. Who are you picking against Texas or Ohio State?
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a very tough one. I don't see how Ohio State loses at home. I don't, you know. But Texas,
even with that guy, they were already giving the Heisman to a quarterback in Texas.
He may have a great game.
Yeah.
But I think Ohio State wins up there. Yeah.
They lost a whole lot of folks to the NFL.
Yeah.
They got the best wide receiver in the country.
Yeah.
In half the NFL. But still, I don't know. Okay. Well, I was just curious what you thought on that.
But I think Manning goes up there and shows what all the shouting's about. I think he goes up there and has a good game.
What are we going to be talking about with Texas visit out to Colorado?
I think we talk about a Tech win. I won't say it'd be an easy win, but I think they'll get a win. I mean, you know, Coach Prime has got a talented team, screws talent. He's breaking in a new quarterback. Like I said, they're seeking an identity. Jackets know who they are. They're going to be a lot of folks from Atlanta out there. They're going to be wearing black and gold, but they're going to have Colorado with it. but you know, Tech's going to come back with the win.
There you go. Yeah. All right, we got Atlanta United, Toronto here later on, in case you can't get in front of a TV. 3 o'clock pre-kick, kick at 4. We are back next Sunday morning and every Sunday after that. John Fricke is up next. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It's Sam and Greg. Noel, thank you for everything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.